Everyone said amen and amen. As they come to you for the offering, again, I thank you because I know it cost you in gasoline to come to a service, and it's a price worth paying. It's one of those things you should have as a priority in your life so that you can be assured of God's blessing in your life. Keep the kingdom first. Everybody, look over at somebody and say, keep the kingdom first. Keep the kingdom first. Because if you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, what we will eat, drink, wherewith we should be clothed, all of these things. The Father knows what you have need of. Can you say amen? And all these things shall be added to you when God can legitimately father you. And He can father you when you come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Everybody say kingdom must be first. That's all about keeping the kingdom first. Can you say amen? And he said, for what fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Literally, the devil and Jesus can't live together. Amen? Someone said, if you marry, if a son of God marries a daughter of the devil, it could work either way. This is not a feminist thing here today. But if a son of God marries a daughter of the devil, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. Can you say amen? There's no doubt about it. It's going to create trouble. So it said, don't be unequally yoked together, the believer or the unbeliever. For what fellowship hath Christ with Belial, or light with darkness? Amen. But come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Kingdom is first. We'll separate you from the values of this world and all that the world is going after. Amen. But it will absolutely bring you into a place of blessing, because God then can legitimately father you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? As is written, saith the Lord, I will walk in them and I will move in them. And dearly beloved, having these great promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Why? So that He can father us. Everybody say, so He can father us. Kingdom is first. The Father knows what you have need of. You take no thought about your immediate earthly needs. He will see to it. Woo! Isn't that good news today? Our God will bless us and care for us and provide for us and protect us. You know what He said of me and you? Go ahead and give Him a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what He said of me and you? This message of holiness and sanctification is not some rigid message to put you in a box. Amen. It is a releasing message to set you free from the world and its values, the flesh and its weaknesses, and its subjectiveness to temptation. It releases you from the devil's influence in your life. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. So settle it. You're going to serve God and God alone. Nothing else is going to master you in God. You don't have to compromise the kingdom to get your needs met. It's keeping the kingdom first that assures you of His blessing this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now I'm going to read something I read before. I want to say this where we're going today is blessed to bring God glory. Say it with me. Blessed to bring God glory. Now, we're returning to a subject, and I'm going to bring some of the stuff that we brought before, but it was a long time ago. But right now, we need this. I was praying. I said, Lord, there's so many areas that we can speak on, and we are living in the perilous times, and yet You want Your people to be blessed. And I think the radio broadcast and the anointing that's coming to tell people that out of Psalm 112, that profile of a righteous man, that he will not be afraid of evil tidings, for his heart is fixed or established, trusting in the Lord. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Can you say amen? But this is not just a matter of faith. This is not just a matter of building your faith without dealing with the real issues of your heart and life. It's a matter of putting the kingdom first in everything that you do in your life. So that God can do what? Just what we read. So He can father you. But He says, I will be a father to you. You know what He says to me as a dad? He said, if I, as a Christian man, if I don't provide for my own. Listen to this. I want you to hear it carefully. If I, as a Christian father, as a Christian husband, a Christian father, if I don't provide for my own, I have denied the faith. Amen. One of the hallmarks of the Christian faith is the love of God flowing through our life. And the Bible said if you even see a brother and sister in need and close up your bowels of compassion, amen. If you say to them, go be blessed and be filled, notwithstanding if you have it right by thee to meet the need and you don't help out, amen, how dwelleth the love of God in you? I've denied the faith if I don't provide for my own. And I'm worse than an infidel. Now, God doesn't expect the infidel, the unfaithful to Him, a person who doesn't know Him or bow to Him, to keep any promises or have any integrity, but He expects it out of His children. And here's what I want to submit to you. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how the evil doesn't mean that we're still sinful people letting sin reign in our life. It means that we are part of Adam's fallen race and we have a weak part of us called the flesh, and within it dwells no good thing. Amen. Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing. In my own ability to overcome, there's nothing there. I'm still subject to sin, but thank God through Jesus Christ I can have victory. I can crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, but my flesh cannot become sinlessly perfect or perfectly righteous. I need that comes from God in my life to overcome. But Jesus said, if you, being evil, your base nature, your fallen nature, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, where there's no evil and no darkness at all, and perfected love, amen, give good things to them that ask Him? Can you say amen? We serve a God who has designed you to be blessed and desires to bless you. Not one you have to wrestle stuff from, but one that says, put my kingdom first and the Father knows what you have need of and all these things shall be added to you. So don't take any thought about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. The Father knows. The issue is not does the Father know or does the Father want to or can the Father do this in troubled times and tough times. The question is the kingdom first in our life? Amen? Amen? The only issue is the kingdom and where it is in relation to you and where you are in relation to it. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. Now, I want to clarify that kingdom is not a mystical, spiritual place in God. Amen. It is practical obedience. It's the lordship of Jesus Christ. Kingdom means the rule or the domain of a king. Amen. Everybody say the rule and rule and influence of a king. The rule and domain of a king. Amen. The Christian heart should be fully ruled by Jesus Christ. And none other. Amen. When the kingdom is first, we start bowing to His lordship. When we bow to His lordship, we get the Spirit's leadership. We get the Spirit's leadership, God's blessing can come upon our life. The sons of God are what? Led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to father us, simply put. We're way past Father's Day, but in a sense, every day is Father's Day. Amen. Your Father knows what you have need of. We've been given the Spirit of adoption. We haven't just been, brought in as stepchildren into God's family, but bona fide sons of God. The Spirit of adoption that we've been given, the Holy Spirit, confirms the fact that we can cry unto Him, Abba, Father. Amen? The Lord's Prayer begins with this, which is really our prayer. It's a pattern prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. How does it begin? Our Father, an acknowledgement that you have a relationship with God where God wants to father you. Amen? Isn't that incredible? Your Father knows what you have need of. Glory to God. I go to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. He said He wants to be our God and He wants to be our Father. Everybody say provider and protector. Hallelujah. I wrote this a couple of years ago, but I'm going to read it to you again. In this age of hedonism and materialism, when the values of the world around us have crept into the church, producing a selfish, self-centered brand of Christianity, it would be easy to be swept up in the momentum of the Laodicean church attitude. I believe that. What is the Laodicean church attitude, Laodicea, the seventh of the seven churches Jesus said write a letter to. You know what he said? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." I want to come and bless you, beginning with my presence. All blessings begin with whether or not you're in fellowship with God. Can you say amen? It's not just something you obtain by faith. It's something you obtain, amen, by complying with His Word, by complying with His rules. And there's rules and regulations. One of them is forgiveness. You've got to forgive to have fellowship with God. You can't hold grudges and use your faith in spite of your grudges. Amen. Bible said if you don't forgive men, the Father won't forgive you. If the Father don't forgive you, how do you ever expect to have a relationship with God? How do you expect to get a prayer through just because you built your faith while you're harboring? Well, I got a right. You don't know what they did to me. It's not what they did to you. It's what He did for you. Christ died for you when you were a sinner. Obstinate, blasphemous, proud, hateful, mean, disobedient, rebellious. And the Bible said if God, for whose sake? Your sake? No, for Christ's sake has forgiven you, then you ought. Everybody say ought. You know what that word is in the Latin? It's owe to. That means you owe a debt of forgiveness to those who wrong you because you've received something from God that you didn't earn, that you didn't deserve. It's called mercy. It's called grace. Grace and mercy comes by Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hallelujah. You ought to forgive one another. You owe it. I owe it to you to forgive you. I owe it to you to forgive you. I owe it to you to forgive you. How? Why do I owe it? Because freely I've received, and the Bible said you can't hold back what you got for nothing. You got to give it like you got it. Everybody say, give it like you got it. Hallelujah. Amen. I love to forgive. It sets me free first. Gets my joy and peace back. And gets the bitterness out of my heart. And I get out of the bitter waters of Mara, amen, to the bounty, amen, of the 12 wells and the 70 palm trees. I like living in a desert place where there's 12 wells and 70 palm trees. I like to sit in the shade and sip the cool water that God provides as a blessing to my life. Everybody say, sit in the shade and sip the cool water. Hallelujah. That's where you need to be in a desert. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. On the other side of the coin, we could easily forfeit blessings God desires to bless us with because we see the inroads Satan is making in the church. We see the compromise and the deception, and we want to distance ourselves from it. I'm going to go on record as saying there's a message out there that I distance myself from. Some people that I know have bought into that message wholeheartedly, have talked about coming here to church, and right now I prefer they didn't come because they're going to be very disappointed when they get here and find out that I'm not parroting what their favorite preacher is saying. Amen. Thank God. I was preaching the gospel before I heard of these guys. Thank you for the hearty amens. I was. That's marking me as an older guy. Amen. But I wasn't influenced by these fellas. They are the new kids on the block. No matter what age they are. And they're bringing something new and different. And the gospel is never needs to be new and improved. Amen. The gospel as it stands is the only true gospel. We don't need a pseudo-gospel and a pseudo-Jesus for the 21st century culture. One that fits and is acceptable. We need the same Jesus. When I need healing, I don't want a different Jesus. I want the same one that walked the shores of Galilee. Can you say amen? When I need deliverance, I want the same God that Moses was dealing with. The same God that Abraham dealt with. Can you say amen? I don't want a different God. I don't want a God made after, fashioned after man's own foolish thinking. I want a God that is above anything that man can imagine. I want a holy God that never changes. Can you say amen? I don't want a God to be like me. I want to be like Him. Hallelujah. I don't want to change Him. I want Him to change me. That's what godliness is all about. Amen? Hallelujah. Godliness is becoming more like Him. Being followers of God as dear children. That word follower in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 is the word imitator. a man was going, he had an alcohol problem. He was on his way to the bar, and he had young children at home. And the joy of his life was this 4-year-old young boy that was the youngest of his children. And he was just so loving. And his daddy would go out in the evenings and go and get drunk. And one day it was snowing really bad. True story told by a pastor. And he said, this man, what turned his life around was, said he was crunching in the snow in his galoshes, and the little boy, he hadn't locked the door behind him. The little boy had followed him right out the door, and the man had stopped to light a cigarette. When he stopped to light the cigarette, he heard crunching in the snow. And he looked back, and everywhere his big boot print went, there was a little 4-year-old taking large strides, coming behind him, stepping right in his footsteps. And when he looked around and said, what are you doing following me? He said, Daddy, I want to walk in your footsteps. And it hit him. Do I want my son to end up bound like I am? And he went to church instead of the bar, and it turned his life around. God can set people free. He's still in the delivering business today. He's in the saving business. And salvation, amen. Salvation doesn't mean just your sins forgiven and you're left, amen, Satan's servant. Salvation means that you have been translated out of the powers of darkness into the what? Here's that word again, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're under the rule and the reign of a brand new master. Bow to Him and put His kingdom first, amen, and let the devil know that he doesn't rule you anymore. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants to restore kingdom blessings to His people. But He has to first get kingdom priorities in place. Amen. That's the key to it. It's not just a faith issue. How did we lose all these issues that Jesus brought up as supreme issues of the heart and make it simply a faith issue? It's real easy to sit in a church and just hear promises that build your faith instead of principles that will bring you into a place where your faith can legitimately work and God can legitimately bless you. Israel couldn't get blessed just because they took an ark out to battle and believed God would be with them when they were not right with Him. The ark, with all of its blessing, couldn't give them victory in battle. They had to get right with Him. The reason David was dancing like a crazy man was because the ark was coming back to its rightful place. And Israel was coming back to their rightful place before the Lord. And he said, man, when all of this gets in the right place, hallelujah, let them come. Let the enemies come. I dare them to come. Amen. There's a God in Israel. Can you say, man, the shout of a king is among them. And as long as the shout of that king is among them, no one can defeat them. You've got to get them compromised. And then faith won't work through a compromised life. That's why we would never take the message of holiness and sanctification and throw it aside and push it aside because people don't want His total lordship. Amen. It's that total lordship that keeps the kingdom first. It's the kingdom first that allows God to father you. Can you say amen? Having the promise that He's going to father us and meet every need of our life and protect us and provide for us. Let us cleanse our lives and hearts from all evil and all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Is that to make it rigid where we can't have any fun? No, it's to get us blessed. You don't know what fun is till you get God's blessing in your life. Can you say amen? It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want you to do something on Monday morning if you think you know what fun is and you've compromised over the weekend. You know what I want you to do on Monday morning? Before you do anything else, before you get your game face on, amen, I want you to go take a good look in the mirror at that person looking back at you. And tell me about all the fun sin brought you, all the fulfillment and satisfaction. Tell me what a box I'm in and how free you are. I see these people come in hungover. They've had illicit sex. They've drank until they can't stand up. They've shot up, doped up, and hoping they don't have to have a drug test at work. They are not happy campers when they come in. Amen. They're hungover, messed up, let down, unfulfilled. Amen. Ready to go out the next weekend looking for the same junk to try to satisfy something that only God can fill. I want to come in differently. I want to come in up on Monday. Hallelujah. Blessed on Monday. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, whom having not seen you love, with what kind of relationship? With joy and full of glory. Can you say amen? There's a glory that comes in this thing. It's a glorious life. It's not this rigid, in a box life. It's set free from sin. I do not need. A man sat at a bar in Tampa. I believe it was Tampa, and he put down, there's a vodka now. It's a flavored vodka. Did anybody read that in today, this week's paper? What kind of vodka was it? Flavored, sweet. I remember the green vodka from my day, but that was BC. That's been, I don't mean caveman days, but it was way back there before I came to Jesus. Can you say amen? But it was a flavored vodka. He drank 23 shots in a row in an hour. Just kept drinking them, shot after shot after shot. 20 how many years old? 26, 27 year old man sitting there. This is what is good. 23 shots in 1 hour. He consumed a huge amount of alcohol. Maybe someone else with bigger tolerance, it wouldn't have done what it did with him. He fell off the stool dead and never woke up. Is this party attitude? Is this really going to bring you into what? Listen, God has something better than drinking yourself off the stool, drinking yourself under the table, drinking until you're so sick you have to throw up. Amen. All the pork rinds you just ate. Can you say amen? Amen. God has something better than that. Amen. I can't imagine sitting next to somebody that drinks and eats pickle pig's feet at the bar or those pickled eggs, amen, and then throws that stuff up, amen, in my car because I'm the designated driver. Can you say amen? I mean, regurgitated pig's feet, come on, church, that ain't living. I don't even see how they get them down, let alone have them in my front seat. Can you imagine? Designated driver. So everybody can barf in my car, get it in my carpet. I want to drink with them if I'm going to do that. Oh, man. The brewery company says you only go round once. Years ago, they had a commercial, one of the catchy ones that caught on. Hey, man, I don't know which one, but it said, you only go around once. In other words, you only live one time. Get all the gusto you can. In other words, you're not really living to the fullest until you get into that kind of circumstance. I'm going to tell you something. If you're living to the fullness, you don't need a stimulant. Can you say amen? Joy unspeakable and full of glory is a stimulant to the soul. It is a satisfaction. It is a fulfillment. Can you say, man, joy unspeakable can't be improved on? Hallelujah. Then you don't need something else, Jesus and this or Jesus and that. You get him like he's supposed to be. His body is meat indeed. His blood is drink indeed. He that eats of my body, drinks of my blood. We're not talking about cannibalism. We're talking about a spiritual relationship where you actually partake of all that Christ is and all that he has done at the cross. You fellowship with him, koinonia. You have sweet communion. You get in a worship service and you feel him. Him who redeemed you and him who loves you. Him who gave himself on the cross for you. And everything else is eclipsed by him. Just going to church won't satisfy you. It's all about him and your relationship to him and with him. Can you say amen? Liturgy without him is nothing. Litany without him is nothing. All the religious routines and regulations without him is meaningless. It's all because of him, his body, his shed blood. Can you say amen? Wow. I want to distance myself from the message that says that if we can just get all the material aspects of our covenant realized, it's going to make us happy. Marriages are breaking up with multi-million dollar homes. But a husband and wife, they can't hold it together. So, is just the material part of it going to take care of everything? If we get as rich as Bill Gates, will we be happy and fulfilled? Obviously not. It's a whole crowd in Hollywood that's unhappy. I mean, dear Lord in heaven, they take little girls, they give them superstardom, they manipulate them and merchandise them and make millions off of them and make them millions in the process. The Disney franchise will make a star because all the stuff they sell that is franchised around that star will make them billions. They give them millions so they can make billions. And the fallout is some little girl that, you know, is 12 years old and sweet, amen. Then they come to a stage where they're going on 14 or 15 and they can't stay sweet anymore and keep bringing in the money. They gotta go to the next level. And the next level is sensuality. The next level is sexuality. The next level is I've got to change my image from the sweet little pure girl to this sensuous woman, and she's not even 18 yet. But the franchise is going to make money. We got to make money, so we change the image. And then you get a gal out there with the party crowd. You get a gal out there on drugs. You get a gal out there strung out. Can you say amen? And you see it in the papers, and everybody is putting down this. Well, they're a victim of the culture, a victim of what the culture says will take care of everybody's needs and fulfill them to the highest degree. And look what it has done. It is backfiring. Amen. And yet people still are following the blind or leading the blind. And many preachers in pulpits thinks if I can just fill the church with gold and silver, everybody will be happy. God will be glorified. That is not it. God is glorified when you don't serve two masters, but you choose one master. Can you say amen? And that one master is Jesus Christ. But he said, when I am your master, you're going to have clothes, you're going to have shoes, you're going to have food in your belly, and having food and raiment in the kingdom first, and eternal life, and heaven for your home, and no fear of death. Be content and show the world a different kingdom and a different value system. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody give him praise in here. Hallelujah. I feel like I represent the blessing of the Lord. I went into Blockbuster Video, and I'm a charter member, so I'm a gold member. And that means I started with Blockbuster back when they first opened. And a young lady says, whoa, you're a gold member. That means you've been here for years and years. And I said, when do I get my Escalade? She said, you couldn't afford gas for an Escalade. I said, lady, you are so right. I'd have to sell that sucker and get me two Toyotas. Corollas, his and hers. She said, well, you could sit in your driveway as a status symbol. I said, yeah, and put a wash tub on top for a bird bath. Yeah, right. No. Yeah, we did. Now I laid my head down at light. And I went through nervous exhaustion, and I didn't realize, I didn't know how to balance my family life with my preaching life, with my missionary efforts, with radio and everything that God, there were so many doors, there were so many good things, and all were not necessarily God things, and I tried to do them all, and I stretched myself too thin, and I found myself in the throes of nervous exhaustion, and right in the middle of the church, probably really excitement, a lot of things going on, a lot of troubles came with it, amen, and I began to break under the heavy load of that, and I found peace to be a treasure that is beyond description, truly joy unspeakable, full of glory, and peace that, listen to me, passes all understanding. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you have. If you don't have peace within, it doesn't matter what you accumulate without. Can you say, man, there's nothing. You said, if I won the lotto, let me tell you about lotto winners. You ought to watch the history of them. Amen. There's a lot of family trouble that comes. because you know, it eats some people up. They found one man that won several $1 million in a dumpster. Amen. He got killed because he'd spent it all and went to sleep in a dumpster inebriated, and they dumped it and smashed him in there. There's another man that was in debt to everybody in the world, had lost millions upon millions of dollars gambling and ran up huge gambling debts and credit card debts and became bankrupt and couldn't pay his bills, and they were closing in on him. Amen. There's a man who killed himself. It just goes on and on. It's not everybody, but the promise that wealth, there's something called the deceitfulness of riches. What is that Jesus is talking about that can come in and choke the word? Amen. What is the deceitfulness of riches? The lie is that if you just have enough stuff, you can be happy and fulfilled in life. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. There's people with it that are drinking themselves to death. There's people with it that are leaving their marriage partner looking for something or somebody to satisfy them. They're still looking, ever getting, but never having enough. But Jesus said, if you knew who it was to the woman at the well that said unto thee, give me to drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you will never thirst again. Can you say amen? Yeah. Yes. Woo! She said, sir, give me then this water. And he didn't give her a drink out of that well, but he gave her salvation, eternal life, forgiveness. She ran back in the city and said, come and see a man. And she was so convincing, they came to hear him. And they drank for themselves. Wow. Let me read out of Psalm 67 very quickly. It's really a prayer . God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us . Then there's a Selah. There's a lot of different meanings to Selah, but the major agreed on meaning is to stop right here for a minute before you go to the next part of this. To be still and quietly contemplate what you just heard. It's not after every verse, but certain verses have a Selah. If it was all going to be put to music, it might be a pause. But this is more than music. This is the Word of God. God be merciful to us. And bless us. And cause his face to shine. What does that mean? Does it mean glow? Now, you know what? What causes the face to shine? When you smile. That's when there's a glow that comes on. Your countenance speaks volumes. And so does mine. Amen? Your countenance. If you could see what I see from my vantage point while I'm preaching, you would be amazed at how you look. Because you forget while dwelling on what I'm saying. Amen. And a lot of people look like they've been sucking persimmons or had just taken a big swig of a lemon, right out, you know, just squeezed a lemon. And if we had a hidden camera up here, we'd just zoom in on certain people and say, boy, look at dinner this morning. Lord help us. But she just happened to be smiling when I came in today. The Bible said the eyes of him who is joyful, that's the countenance, rejoices the heart of others. And blessed are the people who know not only the countenance that lights up when God's blessings come, but they know the joyful sound. You know what the joyful sound is? People walking in victory with a testimony, with a zeal, with enthusiasm, with a praise for God, a spontaneous desire to just worship Him and praise Him. Coming in today, I kind of, you know, gauged my own spiritual condition to at what point coming in. I'm praying. I'm preparing myself. Amen. I'm not psyching myself out. I'm just saying, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to bring honor to you. I don't care what condition people are in. Not that I'm not compassionate. It's just that I want to be above that today. I can't help pull anybody out of a pit if I'm in the pit. Somebody got to be out to throw the rope to pull anybody else up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to come in here and bring my trouble in here. I don't want to come in here and bring my concerns or worries or anything. I want to give that to God. Hallelujah. I want to come in here free to worship Him and focus on Him and not be distracted. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm on my way coming in, and I got worship music for a long time. My tape player was broke down, and it finally started going again, and nobody fixed it. So I figured God was tired of listening to me. I do my best, but sometimes it's not that great. No, I didn't mean that. He loves to hear me sing. On key, off key, in the shower, whatever, as long as I'm praising Him. But I just praised Him. But it would help with the praise music. And I got to a point in a song, and I just, everybody passing me on the interstate, and I just feel like there's a little glory cloud, if you could see it over my car. Can you say amen? And I just hollered out to the Lord of praise. Oh, it just thrilled me. It just welled up. It was not something that I had to do when I get here, that I flip on when I get in this room. There's nobody to see it but God. Can you say amen? My worship doesn't just happen here, amen, to inspire somebody or to put on something for you guys. Amen. My worship is personal. It's between me and my God. He's real in my life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to come in with a countenance that says to you, and before I open my mouth, God, God is on the throne. God is still God. No matter what is happening, God has a plan and a purpose for our life. Amen. We can trust in Him in troubled times. Amen. Our heart can be established. We don't have to be afraid of evil tidings. God is on the throne. God is still God. Can you say amen? And He is our Father. Hallelujah. Abba, Father, means my God will provide for me. My God will protect me. There's a message out there that's wrong, but we got to be careful that we don't distance ourselves so far from His blessing that He can't bless us, because we desperately need the blessing of the Lord. But we need it with the right attitude.
Amen.
You need it. I need it. You need it in your body. You need it to meet your bills. You need God's favor. To make His face shine on us means He gives us His favor. God smiles upon us. This is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased, He said to Christ. He was smiling upon His Son. Can you say amen? I like that song. I think James Cleveland or one of them might have sang it years ago. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. Anybody know the rest of that? Good to me. Oh, yeah. Why is He good to me? Because I found favor with Him. Amen. He smiled on me. Can you say amen? Even in a little drummer boy, that concept of God's blessing comes out. I played my best for Him, and He smiled on me. Amen. God, make His countenance to lift His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. It means God, smile on me. God, give me favor. Listen to this scripture. The blessing of the Lord, His favor maketh rich. It's not all the benefits initially. It's just the fact that you're in a place where God smiles on you. He sets you free. He's good to you. His goodness can be realized in your life because the kingdom is first in your life, and He can father you, and you can be His son and His daughter. Can you say amen? I'm young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Woo! Somebody give God praise in here. Hallelujah. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Listen, why? That thy way may be made known upon the earth, and thy saving health among the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Salah, I want you to think about that. If the people will begin to bow to Him, if nations will bow to Him, God will abundantly pardon. God will abundantly bless. Can you say amen? He governs with righteousness. Amen. This rigidness, amen, is not something designed to take from us, but to give us His blessing and set us free. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Verse 6. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall what? When He blesses us, they'll fear Him. They'll reverence Him. Why? Because they'll recognize the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Put the kingdom first. Put the kingdom first. Get down to business with God and put the kingdom first. You got needs in your life? Put the kingdom first. Don't just try to build your faith or find a formula to get your... The formula to get your need met is God fathering you.
That's right.
Amen? Come out from among them. Bunch of people at work adopting the values of the world, stand apart from that. Say, I don't march to that drummer. I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I bow to no other God. I don't try to serve God and mammon. I can serve God with mammon, but not and mammon. Amen? You don't need to try to get money to get your needs met. You need to get right, thoroughly right with God and get things right in terms of the kingdom. Your Father knows what you have need of, and when the kingdom is first, what happens? All these things will be what? Added unto you. God cares for His children. And let me say something I want to say now before we quit. Very important. In times like these, in order for God to father you, it's going to require the supernatural. As long as everything is being met normally, you don't really need the supernatural. But when the meal barrel goes empty and there's no food to be had in a famine, that's when the miracles take place. When everything is going well, you don't need the supernatural. When you're in a lion's den, they're going to eat you up unless God intervenes. You not only need the supernatural, you see the supernatural. Troubled times and tough times, if the kingdom stays first, it's going to require, in order for God to meet our needs, that He move supernaturally. And when He moves in the supernatural, what happens to the people that see God's blessing that way? They begin to fear the Lord. They say, their God is the true God. Who has a God like our God? Who has a God like their God? A God who is so nigh them in what? All that they call upon Him for. Amen? They recognize the supernatural. If you're pulling your hair out like they are, if you're worried to death like they are, if you're looking to the same sources for comfort as they do, they don't see any difference in you and them. But when God is coming through, God is blessing. When I get hurt at work, everybody around me, they know me. They know what I believe. They know that I try to live it out. And now I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about a faith that is visible in my life daily. They expect God to do things supernaturally. They expect my healing time to be quicker. They expect things to happen. Because I tell them I've got a God. I trust in God. I look to God. He's my source. And when He does move supernaturally, everybody recognizes it. They even believe their shift is blessed because I'm on it. And you know something? It is. Every time the Lord drops something in my heart to fix something so something will keep running, which I'm not mechanically inclined, you know, I don't have that inclination. But God dropped something in my heart. I said, I know how to fix that. You know, I took some cardboard the other day and six plastic wire ties. And I just took them up and there's a gate and the gate wouldn't let the bottles come around because of, you know, trying to save money. They don't use as much plastic, so the bottles are thinner and thinner and thinner, and they mash instead of being rounded. They kind of flatten out on one side as they come around gallon bottles, and they would catch and catch and catch and catch. And we'd call maintenance, and they'd work on the gates and the timing and put a computer to it, and they still mash and mash and mash. And I just thinking, Lord, I need to fix this. I'm climbing up and down this ladder all night long, and I need to fix this thing. Can't get them over to the other side, and everybody's complaining. And it just dropped in my heart. I just went over, and I don't even know that it dropped in my heart. I just started doing things. And then you look back and say, it had to be God because I'm not that smart. And what I did didn't represent smart. I grabbed a piece of cardboard off a box, and I folded it up, and I put it where the gate hits, and I put plastic ties behind that to where there was plastic now over the cardboard so it wouldn't mash any further. And the gate would open just so far, just enough that even with the squared corners, they just whizzed around it. And I stood there and watched them whiz around. And I said, thank you, my covenant friend. Thank you, my covenant friend. Because I consider God my covenant friend, not just this distant God that sits aloof on His throne in heaven, but my helper in life, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Can you say amen? God wants you blessed, and He don't want you. He addeth no sorrow with it. It means He wants you to enjoy the blessing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He wants you blessed, and He wants you to enjoy it. He don't want to give you. Wouldn't it be terrible to give your child a train set on Christmas morning? This beautiful train set it up the night before. It's got tunnels, and it's got little arms that come down. It's got a caboose with a little thing on the back, and it lights up, and it goes, woo, 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 woo. Amen. And this kid comes out, and the kid comes out and looks so thrilled and so happy. And you say, boy, I don't want this kid getting the wrong idea about how life is going to be. And go and kick that thing off the tracks and squash it. No. What good would... Don't even give it. Don't even set it up if you're going to come around and mess it up. Can you say amen? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I'm not talking about how much you have, but I'm talking about having the blessing of the Lord. Can you say amen? I was healed of cancer. Amen. Cancer of the blood. Money can't buy healing. You can't buy it. What bought healing was only the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it was freely shed. Can you say amen? It is not something you can purchase with silver or gold. Because we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, with the precious blood. He makes His face to shine upon us. Gives us peace. Knowing I have His favor gives me peace in the time of storm because my Father is with me. Jesus said it in Pilate's hall. Everyone forsook Him. There was no one standing there. He stood alone. And He said, but my Father is always with me. That's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it. And when people hear rich, the only thing they can think about is silver and gold. Honey, God's blessing on a meal barrel that's about empty is better. Thieves can steal silver and gold. Money can lose its value like it did in the Great Depression. Amen. But God's blessing is intact no matter what the circumstance. And here's the good news. As the circumstances become more dire and the needs become greater and the circumstances are bleaker, God is required in order to father us to supernaturally intervene in order to take care of His children. That means we're going to see the miracle. All the miracles took place when the needs were beyond man's abilities. That's when the supernatural... It's the Red Sea that they can't cross. There's no bridge. There's no barge. What happens? God says, I'm either going to let Egypt destroy them, or I'm going to father them and take them through. Well, I'm a father God to Israel. I'm going to take them through. So He parted the Red Sea. And when they tried to cross, He closed it back again, destroyed a world empire army for the sake of His children. And He told them, I gave men for you. I gave men for you. I gave men for you. Amen. Lives were destroyed in order that you might be preserved. I'm committed to your deliverance. I'm committed to your victory. Can you say amen? Come back to me so I can what? Come back to you. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't follow the world. Follow the kingdom and the King. Isn't this a great reason to obey God and not man and the culture? Jameson Fawcett Brown said, about this psalm. It's a prayer that by God's blessing on His people, His salvation and praise shall be extended over the earth. When people see blessings, they're self-evident, and His name is exalted, His name is glorified. When I come in the locker room and I come in, you know, just happy, not even singing a Christian hymn, just happy. Amen. Someone notices. They pick up on it because all the party crowd are hungover. And for me to come in happy on Monday morning. I mean, it's Monday. I told someone, I said, I just heard a news flash on CNN. And they said, what is it? What is it? I said, it's going to be Monday all day long today. All day. And then I smiled. And that's what they were looking for. What they were looking for. If God can keep him, if his God is keeping him, if his God is caring for him, if his God is providing for him, amen, then his God is real. Amen. His God is to be honored. His God is to be reverenced. Listen to this. One version says, God blesses that all the ends of the earth might fear him. And one of them says, God marks us with his blessing. Can you say amen? How many know Israel was marked with blessing? When you make your prayer toward the temple, the ark is in its rightful place. You make your prayer toward this place. He said, I'm going to send the rains to you. Enemies come, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide. I'm going to protect. I'm going to father you. Matthew Henry, commentary on these verses of Scripture said, there are people in the world that can upon God, good ground. Let me back up and get this before we quit. There are people in the world that can upon good grounds call God their God. It is here spoken with an air of triumph. Even our own God shall bless us. Believers have reason to glory in their relation to God. Those who, in through grace, have a relationship to God, those who, through grace, call Him their own, may, with humble, hallelujah, and yet bold hearts, declare, and bold confidence, expect blessing from Him. Can you say amen? How many believe people in right relationship with God can expect blessing from Him? The psalm begins in a way that sounds similar to the prayer of Jabez. Actually, it more closely echoes the blessing that Aaron and his descendants said over the people of Israel, as recorded in Numbers chapter 6. But Psalm 67 goes deeper than the prayer of Jabez, telling us why God blesses His people. Look at the first two verses of the psalm. Listen to this. This is good. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known upon the earth, your salvation among all nations. So it's saying, bless me that I might glorify you, that I might show your power, your love, your majesty, your goodness to all nations. Psalmist is not saying, bless me so I can be comfortable. He's not saying, bless me so I don't have to work hard and make a living. He's not saying, bless me so that others will be envious of me. He says, bless me so I... He's not saying, bless me so I can be successful in the eyes of the world. He's not even saying, bless me so I can bless others initially, although you can. This last is a biblical reason for God's blessing. He makes it explicit in His call to Abraham in Genesis 12. By all means, God blesses us and gifts us so we might serve and bless others. But still, this is not the underlying fundamental reason for God's blessing. God blesses us first and foremost to bring glory to His name. Everybody say to bring glory to His name. How are you going to glorify His name? Bear His name, wear His name, without His blessing? And if His blessing isn't in our life, why isn't it? I submit to you, it's a kingdom first issue. Because when the kingdom is first, He fathers us. When He fathers us, you don't worry about what you shall eat, drink, wherewith you be clothed. The Father knows you have need of these things. He will make a way. Amen. And He wants to. And He wants to. While we are to live counterculture to the world and the worldly church, praying and expecting God to mark us with blessing is biblically and spiritually correct when our hearts are totally set on things above. How many believe that? We can believe God for blessing. Amen? We can believe God for blessing. Say it with me again. We can believe God for blessing. I want to close with this thought. We may pursue this later on, but when the meal barrel is empty and God wants to bless, He sets up a situation so someone can put the kingdom first. Amen? There's a prophet in the time of corrective judgments in the land. His name is Elijah. And Elijah is right with his God. Israel is not right with God. And a famine comes. You know what's happening in America right now? We are getting a gentle but firm reminder that we need God's blessing on this great nation. That our ability in the global economy to compete because of our riches, wealth, intelligentsia, and great military might is not enough. How many know we need God's blessing? God bless America needs to be the banner. But God can't just bless America. We have to put Him first again in America. And when we do, He'll bless America, because when we did, He did bless us to become the great nation that we were and are. Wow. How can God bless America if we as a collectively, as a nation, pursue materialism and hedonism, self-satisfaction instead of pleasing God at all, pushing Him out of our public life and keeping religion in a private little corner. In God We Trust is on the coins. They want it off. There are people that are bothered by it, really eat up by it. Why is it there? Why did the founding fathers want it on there? Because the deceitfulness of riches is that you don't need God when you become very rich and powerful. And they wanted a reminder. No matter how many of these dollars you get or coins you get, it's God that has blessed this nation. Our wealth can't deliver us, but God can. Our wealth can't deliver us from national catastrophes, but God can. Our wealth can't keep us from an enemy that's intent on hurting us, but God can. So it's in God we trust. The euro is outselling the dollar. One of the reasons given, false or not, for the oil prices going up is that in the global market, the American dollar is not the number one currency anymore. The euro. Do you know a world money system is coming? Do you understand how close it is? Because if all the money markets, if some people are prospering while other people are having problems, wouldn't it be great just to have one system? And then you don't have this fluctuating thing. The dollar is not weighed against the yen and the yen against the euro. And we come under, and I believe the euro will eventually become the premier. Why? Because out of Europe is going to come this restored old Roman Empire, and there's a leader going to come. And it involves one currency and a mark that you can't buy or sell. It's coming. A world government, a world currency, a world church is forming. And the compromises and concessions necessary for that to happen are beginning to be moved in place. We're very close to the coming of Jesus Christ. This is no time to go after gold and apparel. This is a time to get the kingdom first. Let God take care of your physical, material needs. Get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And in the troubled time that we live, amen, see God somehow make a way for you and me. Everybody give Him praise in this room. All of this in heaven too. Hallelujah. Our needs are going to require the supernatural. I'm going to submit to you something. This ought to get you ready. I believe I'm going to see more miracles because of the tough times that we're living in terms of God coming through than I saw in all the previous years of my life. I'm going to see the supernatural on a scale that I've never saw in my life in the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the needs are there. And for God the Father, the important thing is that we let ourselves be in that place where God can father us. Can you say amen? Come out from among them. Be ye what? Separate. I don't have to pursue wealth for God to meet my needs. I have to pursue Him for Him to meet my needs. And when He meets my deeper need, and that is for fulfillment, I don't have to have so much to be happy. Isn't that incredible? Amen? Somebody think, oh, if I just had my house paid off, if I just won the lottery, if Ed McMahon just... Let me tell you about Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon is defaulted on his house. Yes, it's in the paper. Ed McMahon can't pay his payments anymore. His mortgage is now come due. He's trying to sell the sucker before he loses it. Hello? So if you think Ed's going to show up with your check, Ed will keep the check. I told a guy at work about a little thing. A machine quit working, and you know, I said, well, we can, that machine over there we're not using right now, we can take the part off of that machine and put it on this machine, rob Peter to pay Paul. This guy evidently going through tough times because he said, around my house, we don't rob Peter to pay Paul. I said, you don't? He says, no. He said, we rob Peter and Paul and don't pay nobody. You know how you juggle your bills and you rob Peter to pay Paul? You say, we'll let Bright House go and pay our light bill because without our lights, we won't have no TV. You know how that works, you know. And then next week, we'll give a little bit to Bright House so they don't turn off our cable. Rob Peter and Paul and don't pay nobody. I thought, well, in these tough times, we don't need to rob anybody. We just, and especially, we don't need to be robbing God. We need to keep the kingdom first. Can you say amen? Everybody say, keep the kingdom first. And our God will do what? He'll bless us. He will supply. Hallelujah. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. He's made a way so that He can bless us. He needs us to concur with that and comply with that and begin to bow to no other master. You can't serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. So just bow to God and God alone. And God said, I'll take care of the things that you truly need in your life. Beginning with that peace that passes understanding. Amen. And the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then He says, all the physical material needs, I'll take care of it. When there is no meal in the barrel, God multiplies it. And there's no oil. Amen. One cruse keeps pouring. God begins to move in the supernatural. When a man's in a lion's den with no way out, He shuts to the mouth of the lion. When three Hebrew boys are in a fiery furnace, He takes away the heat of the flame for them. And there's a fourth man in the fire, the presence of God, God fathering them. When innumerable company comes up against Israel, God sends an angel and slays the entire army while they're sleeping. Can you say amen? When the supernatural is required, God parts the water. When there's no water and His people are thirsty, He brings it out of a flinty rock. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? When they run out of wine at the wedding, I'm talking about the fruit of the vine. Amen. You know what He does? He turns the water into the fruit of the vine. Can you say amen? Doesn't He do it? Can you say amen? When a man is hopelessly eat up with leprosy and says, Jesus, have mercy on me. He touches him and the leprosy goes away. 10 lepers are healed. When a woman is vexed of a devil, you can't buy that. Amen. Can't buy deliverance. Amen. What does Jesus do? He speaks the word and that devil is dislodged and cast out of that life. Can you say amen? When a storm is upon the sea, it don't matter how much money you got when the boat is about to sink. Your money will perish with thee. He walks to the bow of the ship and says, peace, be still. And there is a great calm. Can you say amen? I'm talking about God, amen, is able to come through supernaturally when His people put Him first. Always did, always has, and always will. Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Will you stand to your feet?